Welcome to Bible Strong Ministries with your host, C.M. Atkinson. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time for a message of God's love and forgiveness, a message of hope and direction, a message to enable you to live a more abundant, spirit-filled life. Join us now for today's lesson.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44 talks to us about persecution. Jesus said, "You have heard that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mountain, had some commandments for us with regard to our attitude towards persecution. We are to love our enemies. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Bless them that curse us. Do good to them that hate us. And pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. I read the story of a fella who had lost his job, his fortune, his wife, and his home. But he held on to his faith, which was the only thing he had left. One day he stopped to watch some men doing stonework on a huge church. One of them was chiseling a triangle piece of stone. The man asked the stonemason, "What are you going to do with that?" The workman replied, "See that little opening way up there near the spire? I'm shaping this down here so it will fit in up there." Tears filled the man's eyes as he walked away. It seemed that God had spoken through the workman to explain the ordeal through which he was passing. "I'm shaping you down here so you'll fit up there." The persecuted for righteous sakes are happy because they are identified with Christ. The enmity of the world is proof that we are on the right side, that we are identified with our blessed Lord. Jesus said that our stand for him would evoke the wrath of the world. He said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." That's my gold nugget for today. I'm glad you're making Bible Strong a part of your day. We look forward to connecting with you each day at this same time on this same station. So call a friend, a neighbor, someone you love. Tell them Bible Strong is on the air. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. Lean in. Turn again to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse 14 and read the remainder of that chapter. "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing,' and knoweth not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. This was the third letter that this church had received. Paul had sent two letters to this church. In one letter he says, I want you to know how great a conflict I have for you at Laodicea, that your hearts might be comforted, knitted together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of earth. This I was reading from the second letter that Paul wrote to this church. Paul was in great conflict about this church. Maybe he had heard some things that gave him reason to be conflicted. We do know that he had great glowing reports from this church by one of the brothers, but yet I believe the Spirit of God moved on him to send them another letter and let them know that he had some kind of internal conflict about this church. Also about the church at Colossae. Paul was sensitive to the Spirit. He would allow God to speak to him no matter where he was at, whether he was at rest or preaching to some people. Paul was always sensitive. I believe pastors should be that way today. I know we all go to the pulpit with a message already planned out. Still yet, I think that we should be able to allow the Spirit to make a divine interruption in our midst. Everything may look good. Everything may seem up the snuff. But if we are sensitive to the Spirit, He'll move on us and help us preach a message that God wants His people to hear on this particular day. Many of you preachers know that you have entered into the pulpit with a message that you had studied all week long. But as soon as you entered the pulpit and opened your Bible, the Holy Spirit began to move you in an entirely different direction. God knows the need of His people. He knows who's going to be at your church. He knows the problems that the people are dealing with. Even if you don't, most people deal with their problems in a very personal manner. Most of God's people don't go around sharing all of their problems. They usually trust God to take care of them. But every once in a while, they go to church with a problem they've been dealing with for weeks. And God moves on someone in that church to give them a word of knowledge. A word that will encourage them. A word that would let them know that God has not forgotten them. A word that will tell them God is working on their problem. We all need this confirmation from the Lord. In verse 14, Jesus said, I am the Amen. What does this word Amen mean? Amen. It's a word of affirmation. And Jesus Christ is the great affirmator. Jesus is the one that affirms. Therefore, he uses this word of affirmation. Write these things, saith the Amen. He is the affirmation of all that I hope to be. He affirms. We should all be looking for his affirmation. We should all be listening for his Amen, his okay, his approval, don't you think? And again, as I was preparing for this lesson, I began to think that the church at that time already had all of the apostles out there preaching God's word. They had the letters of Paul and Peter and all of the other apostles, and they had the four gospels already written at this particular time. So I thought to myself, why would he personally dictate a letter to them? He could have said, well, they've got the prophets, they've got the preachers, they've got the written word. Let them believe that, or let them perish. But that's not what Jesus did. He knew that they already had preachers and teachers, and they already had most of the written word. They already had the letters from all of the apostles and all the gospel writers. He could have just let that be all they gonna get. But no, right here in the middle of their lukewarmness, in the middle of their near apostate condition, he dictates a letter to them personally. This was not something that John wrote on his own. John was just the scribe that wrote what Jesus told him to write. Jesus knew they needed to hear from him. Oh, don't you know they were happy when they read this letter that Jesus himself would take an interest in them and their soul? They were already in Christ, but somehow they neglected to let Christ into their total life. They were already in Christ, or else he couldn't have spit them out. But then here comes a letter dictated by Jesus himself. It must have been a great comfort. I know every time I hear the voice of Jesus speak to me, it makes me happy that he would even take notice that I'm alive. But he does. He knows each of his children's name. He is a personal Savior. He is a personal God to all of us individually. And he knows what you're going through right now. He sees your trials. He sees your struggles. He sees your discouragement. And I'm here to tell you right now, God is already working on your problem. Trust him. I'm going to close the lesson right here, but I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson from this same chapter. Be with me tomorrow. Until then, may the grace of God be with you. May his favor shine in your path. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing unto God. We love you.
Listen each weekday at this time for Bible Strong Radio Ministry. Send correspondence to Bible Strong Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 16512, Bristol, Virginia 24209, or visit BibleStrong316.org.